So good evening. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. It is Tuesday night and it is, again, like I always say, I like to keep it consistent, my favorite night of the week. And it is Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. It's where I get to play, where I get to have my opinions and just like have a good time, answer questions if people call in. I'm not attached to that. Call in. Yeah, so basically this week it's me on the phone, on the line with you guys, and really what I want to talk about is my journey. So I have been on the radio now, Beyond Potential, Live Like Our Way, on talkradio.nyc for the last 6 months. And tonight's show is to tell you that it ain't been easy. It ain't easy. It might seem like it is. What I'm having is a lot of fun, but it is not easy, right? It's been exciting. It's been fun, but it's like, you know, there is an art to being on the radio, which I am learning, right? I am learning how to express myself in a way that is authentically me, which is always authentically me. Everybody else is taken, right? And sort of like making sure that my communication lands with people, that I leave them something. I spoke to my sister on Saturday and she said to me, you know, no, it's really great that you're doing all these interviews and stuff like that, but we want you to come back, right? We want to be able to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your coachings, your opinions. Hey, Satij, how are you? Satij is my boy. Hi, Constance, with his big son now who's in high school. I don't know how he got there so quickly. And yeah, so anyway, tonight I'm talking about, like I said, you know, my experiences over the last 6 months of being on this radio show. It's like that never ending canvas that you're painting, right? You don't know who's going to, I don't know who's going to walk by my storefront and have a look and make a comment and talk about the art that I am creating, right? So, you know, most people, like an artist, he has a canvas, he paints, you know, some people design, and I've had all kinds of, I've had designers on the show, I have had actors on the show, I've had activists on the show, I've had people that are into jazz, I've had, oh my God, who else have I had on my show? Oh, I had my first show, which was with a client of mine who was, who had been on crack for 20 years. And that show was about reinventing yourself. And he actually reinvented himself and got off of crack and is no longer a crackhead, who at the time when I met him, he didn't have an apartment. We got him an apartment. He never left the country. He started traveling quite frequently. He didn't own a car. He bought himself a car. He upped the prices on his window washing. His window washing business was a business that he started out of, I'm going to call them acts of kindness, but it was really acts of, so that he could buy his drugs. And he was able to develop that and have it take care of him and build a business out of that. And so he was the first person that I had on the show. And that was like just a thought and an idea that popped into my head. And I said, well, I'm doing a show about reinventing yourself, so why not have him come on the show? And so he did come on the show. He actually called in. That was the first show, right? And then we had him, I had him come on the show. And my listeners at the time were like, you know, when I saw some of my listeners the next day or the next week, they were like, Noreen, you went in. You like, you really went in and you wanted to know all the dirt, which he did. He spilled the beans. He told us all the dirt. He told us how he got into drugs, that he came from a really good family and he just wanted to fit in. And that's what got him messed up with drugs and had him be out there. So we had that show. Then I had the guys from Brooklyn Fashion Week. Yeah, Brooklyn Fashion Week, and I can never get it right. I have this thing, if I don't mess up your name on my show, then I'm not doing it right. So they came on the show, I met them, they had this beautiful week of fashion shows and, you know, talks and panels and met some beautiful, attractive older men with the gray beards and the fashion models, people who are still modeling in their 50s, gorgeous, gorgeous men. Shout out to David Hands. What else did we have on the show? Then we had the Queen of Roar. Queen of Roar, and we had the Queen of Denim, and then we had Cro-Magnon. The Queen of Roar, she traveled the world picking up used fabrics. There are millions and millions of tons of fabrics that are locked away in containers all around the world that are not being used. And what she was able to do was to go after her passion and find these fabrics and re-enter them into the market so that they can be used, so that they wouldn't end up in landfills or in the ocean or burned. So she was on the show. And then we had the Queen of Denim. The Queen of Denim was a woman that I met. You know, and what's so beautiful about doing a show and putting a show together, it's like the universe. You say what I say, what I want, and it's like the universe just guides these people and presents these people in front of me. It is absolutely amazing. So the Queen of Denim, I met her while I was visiting a friend of mine's new offices, and she said, oh, come and see my office. And while I was there, I started having a chat, and there she was, the Queen of Denim. She had been, you know, playing in the world of denim since she was 10 years old. The first thing she ever got was a denim backpack. She went to Catholic school. She wanted to have denim jeans, but her mother wouldn't have them, let her have them. But they got her a denim bag. And from that point on, she was hooked. And this woman works in denim. She works with artisans who create denim. If you have time to go to, I think it's the Children's Museum in the city, they have a whole denim secret garden, which is flowers and all plants and all kinds of stuff made out of denim. Very intricately designed, and very, you know, very, very, very intricate. Right? Very detailed oriented. And so they put that together, and that opened up a few weeks ago, like let's say a month ago. And what else is there? So she was on the show talking about sustainability, talking about making denim without using water, trying to save the small denim organizations, the American Denim Infrastructure, which is in the south by the foot Appalachian Mountains. And there was a denim corporation or company that had been there for a good many years, and she was trying to save them from going under, because most of our denim now is not made in America. It's made in foreign countries. And, you know, talking about things being made, yesterday I watched Madman, or M-A-D-D-M-A-N, which is Madden. What's his name? What's his first name? Steve Madden. Yes, Steve Madden story. That was really great. And why I bring him up is because he makes his shoes in America, right? His business is still very much in America. So she was trying to sustain the denim making practices that America created, I think, if it didn't come from France at first. Denim is in France. That's the name. Well, anyway, she's trying to sustain that. And so she'd been working in that area. And then we had Cro-Magnon. Cro-Magnon is a small company, small but mighty. And they're based in New Jersey. And what they do is they make fabrics out of waste, right? Like waste products, like food products, like wood and pulp and all kinds of recycled materials. And what this young lady is doing, which I'll probably have on the show at some point, because she's very, very interesting. She makes clothes using biology. She was supposed to have gone to medical school. She did go to medical school, but she hated it, right? And was able to honor her voice and honor her truth and leave medical school, not finish, because she really didn't. When she got there, she realized she didn't want to become a doctor. She wanted to work in biology, sustainability, fabrics. And so she did that, and she's really happy. And so at the end of the day, what is my show about? My show is about people and their passions, people living their dreams, owning their voice, and taking their lives on. And that's why I did this show. I'm all about people living their dreams. I'm all about people being happy, because I believe if I can, as a coach, help one person, I really believe this, if I can help one person to fulfill on things that are important to them, and they can live a life and do the work that they're happy with, that's like saving one life. I feel like Schindler's List. He saved one Jew and saved a whole nation of people, right? So I kind of feel like that inside. I mean, I know it sounds dramatic, but I am all about the drama. And so I believe that it's important for us to love what we do. If you don't love what you do, leave it alone and go find something else. You owe it to yourself to live a full, full life. So I, like I said, I'm going to talk about my experiences on the radio over the last 6 months, which have been, they've just been awesome. I completely, completely love it. Then who else did I have on the show? I had a stylist on the show, where she came in and she talked about fashion. And like, I'm not really a big fashion person. You know, I like clothes, but I don't really like having to go to shop for them. I'm like a random shopper. I bought myself some boots this weekend, some Dr. Martens, because I've always wanted some Doc Martens. So I bought myself two pairs of Doc Martens, which are really comfortable and I love wearing them. But I think that's the first in a long time. That's the first things I've bought for myself in a really, really long time. But yeah, so what's been going on with me? It was my birthday last week and I turned 55. I find that completely fascinating. I am blown away that I am 55 years old. Oh, 55 years young, old, it really don't make no difference to me, right? I'm just blown away. It's like I feel like I just got to America, and I would not believe it's like, it's been 32 years since I stepped off of that Virgin Atlantic plane where we didn't have in-flight entertainment. In-flight entertainment was a guy playing his guitar running up and down the aisles. And non-smoking was like, you, if you were unlucky, you were the last row of the non-smokers and you went all to the back, all the way to the back, filled with smokers. So your hair, your clothes, everything was filled with smoke. And so I feel as though, like I said, I've just got off the plane, but it's been 32 years later. It's not like yesterday. It's 32 years. I can't believe it. I can't believe that I can't believe that I've been divorced. I don't know, maybe 17, 18, 19 years. I don't bloody know, but I've been divorced and that time is going fast, but it's kind of in my world stand still, but it's moving fast, but moving slowly also. Anyway, when I come back, we'll talk about more. Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo woo!
What's that?
Talk
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So I'm back, and this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm talking about being here, you know, the mashup, the 6 months that I've been here, and also looking at the fact that I just turned 55 years old. Woohoo, me! Yay, baby, because I look good, right? And that I've been in this country over 32 years. And I just can't believe it. I can believe it. I know it's true, but it just seems like life is in a series of, like, it's like a movie, then a commercial, and then a movie, and another commercial. So love back to that person who just sent me love to you too. Thank you. So, I was also sick with the flu. So I just want to say shout out to the people that are suffering with the flu. That thing is a bugger. It is a bugger. I cannot believe this is how I got the flu. It's going to be really gross, right? So I went to this event, and there was this woman. She, the interviewee, she was having a hard time talking. So when the conversation was over, I went down and acknowledged her for doing such a great job, despite the fact that she had this cold. And what did I do? I shook hands with her, didn't I? I shook hands with her. And then me, like a greedy piglet, I go and eat. So I'm like popping stuff into my mouth. Virus, yes. And so I woke up the Friday morning. I just had this little tiny tickle in my throat. And I was like, oh, it's probably nothing. And then Saturday, I woke up. Oh, no. So it was like Friday night. It was my birth. It was the 14th. And my girlfriend said, come out. Come to Red Rooster. Shout out to Storm and Norman. And dance. So I went to the Red Rooster. Danced my ass off. From the time I got there to the time I left, I did not get off the dance floor. I was shaking it. I can't dance for shit, honestly. Really. I don't know where my rhythm went. But anyway, so I was dancing, and I took a cab, went home, woke up in the morning. I have this huge frog in my throat. My throat is sore. It hurts, and I'm sick. And so I decided that I'm going to spend a portion of the day in bed. So I did that. But this flu is like tricky, because you'll feel a little bit better, and then you'll go outside and you'll do what you do, and you'll come back, and it just like punches you in the face, and you're sick again. And what it leaves behind is this huge, thick pile of mucus. Snot. My friend says, please don't say that word, snot. And I says, why? Because it makes him sick. But that's what it is, right? You have this mucus. You start hacking like you've been drinking methylated spirits on the corner underneath the subway. You know, you just feel so disgusting. But like, so I just want to say shout out to the people that are suffering from the flu. Just make sure you wash your hands. Just make sure you take care of yourself. Drink a lot of water. Drink a lot of tea. Keep your mindset. Because I also think that the mindset is really, really important. When I was in bed, I had the conversation, oh, I'm dying. But then as soon as I got out of bed, took a shower, I felt fine. So it's like you have to tell yourself that you're fine and you're getting better. If you don't, you will just be like totally mash up. Anyway, so that was that. That was the 14th, 15th, the week. It was really good. And then I went to see Tosca. Tosca is an opera, and thank you, Sam, for giving me the ticket to go to see Tosca. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really great. So I went to Tosca, you know, got down to the Metropolitan Opera. It's really beautiful. It has like that hanging chandelier, and, you know, it's all glam and stuff. And it's just, you know, big amphitheater, and it's really great. It was a really good movie. I studied it before I actually went, and I actually liked there was a really good download of Tosca, and And then I went, so, you know, of course it's on stage, you can only do so much, but it was really great. Now, so here's the funny thing that happened, right? So I'm sitting in the seat and I'm getting all excited. I've got me chocolate, which I paid $8 for, a Toblerone. How much is a Toblerone in a shop? I don't really know. $3, $4, $3? I paid $8 for a Toblerone. I was like, wow. And I'm sitting there and this woman says to me, she taps me on the shoulder and she says, hello. And I'm like, hi. She goes, you have such beautiful hair. And I'm like, thank you. And she goes, and it's so big. And I said, mm-hmm. And she goes, I can't see. So I'm like, what? She goes, would you mind trading places? And I figured, well, you know, the tickets are the same price. We're in the same. I said, I traded with her. She was this tiny, tiny thing. Because I'm like, how can you not see? The seats, they stack, right? She couldn't see because she was really small. She was small. So I traded seats. So she was so happy, right? And then I sat next to this woman who didn't know what to do with herself because she was like, you know, all nervous. I'm sitting there and stuff. But Tosca was really good. You know, operas are usually like love, betrayal, capture, you know, somebody gets shot by some gun or something, like guards, or, and then it's like the woman usually, or the man, they usually toss themselves off some bridge. Well, that was Tosca. It's like love. It's all drama. It's really drama, right? And so I went to see that, and that was really good. So anyway, back to the show. So who did I have on the last person that I had on the show was the Dewey, who is a writer, actor, director, poet, playwright, just an extremely talented young man. And it's Brooklyn Blue Sky. They were on my show last week, and that was really, really great. I thoroughly enjoyed having them. Shout out to Dewey. And if you guys haven't watched Brooklyn Blue Sky, you need to download that online. And they're 8-minute webisodes, which that is a new frontier. That is where people are going to be, you know, watching online rather than watching television. I just got cable the other day. Right? Cable, $49. They tried to trick me into getting a bundle, which is a telephone. What do I need a telephone for? I've got a cell phone, right? And what was the other thing? Then the cable. And I guess added onto that, I would have gotten Showtime, HBO. I don't need that. You can get all that stuff online now. Nobody needs to do that. You can download movies and all kinds of stuff, right? So I did that. And they have this new thing, which I just saw. I watched the movies and the writer of the movie came on and said, you know, this is a free thing that they're doing, and they're doing where an honor system, right? So if you watch the movie and you think it's good, make a donation. I thought that was really kind of cool, right? Because you can watch the movie. I gave him $5. You can watch the movie, and then if you liked it, you give them a few dollars, because he said sometimes it takes weeks, months, years to make a movie. And if we, because I guess people are going to download it anyway, you know, so the honor system, if you like it, they're trying it on, make a donation. I thought that was really good. So why did I bring that up? Oh, yeah, the webisodes. So it's really important to support your young filmmakers and support them by watching the web. They have some really good shows on the web these days. I mean, really good shows. You don't even really have to watch mainstream TV anymore. So that's what they were on my show doing that. And this week, my sister said, I think you should do a show. I want you to do a show. So this is what I'm doing, because one of my guests canceled. So, but I've also decided that I will be doing my show every third week. It'll just be me every third week talking about something in the realm of coaching, something in the realm of supporting people to really live life your way and go beyond your potential. I want to let you know that radio and television, they are not easy. It is not easy. It is an art form. So I want to shout out to Oprah, I want to shout out to even Howard Stern, who a lot of people don't like, but I still want to shout him out. I want to shout out Kimmel and Letterman and Larry King and Conan and all the people that I haven't mentioned. I want to shout them out because it is not easy to do these mediums, keep people engaged, keep people interested, keep people coming back every week to listen to your show. Especially, I've got no training in this. I have no training, no acting training, no acting skills, none of that kind of stuff. And yet, I am proud to say that I've got 14,500 and something viewers who listen to my podcast after the show, and a few hundred people listen to me live. So I'm blown away with that. I am literally blown away with that. I'm so excited. Yes, it's not a lot compared to everybody else, but I'm not going to compare myself to everybody else. I'm comparing myself to me, and I'm excited for that. Like, I can't believe that. I've only been on the radio 6 months. So I just want to shout out that it is not easy, but if you're interested in, you know, being on the radio, being on the TV, come and join us. Come and join Talk Radio NYC. We're always looking for new people, and we all support each other. We have each other's backs in terms of my show supports your show supports my show. And there's like a link. It's like, you know, just like you would with television station or a radio station. So I think I'm enjoying it, and I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm getting to know my voice. I'm getting to know what I'm about. It's really, impacting who I am in the world. It's one of the nicest thing is when people send you an email. I had a meeting this Sunday from a lady that we actually did not meet. We thought we had met. Her name is Nikki Lasky. Shout out to Nikki. She saw me online, made a connection to me. We met on Sunday for brunch. Now, the exciting thing about Nikki is that she had listened to my shows and she sent me an email. I'm listening to your show and you are funny. You're hysterical. You're funny. And I'm really enjoying the show. So we meet for lunch and she tells me that she used to do the news write the news for the BBC. Right. And she said, I've been in radio and television. And she goes, and you're really good at what you do. Now, for me, that is an ultimate compliment. That is like a deep compliment from like, I really don't even know how I'm sounding. I was so happy and so excited because here's this woman. We realized that we don't know each other, but we had made a connection somehow and she connected with me. Awesome girl, awesome writer. And so she was telling me some of the things that I need to do, which I'm going to take on. But I was so happy. It's so nice when you meet people and they say, oh, I listened to your radio show. It was really great. Or they send you an email. I really loved what you said. Or get this, you walk down the street and one of your neighbors said, I was searching for you have your own podcast. Right? She goes, I didn't know you have a podcast. And I'm like, yeah. You know, so it's like, it's just a taste of what it would be like to be a celebrity. So anyway, when I come back, I'm going to delve into my reading excerpts from my book that is not out yet. So I'll be right back. Thanks.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And so like this week is just a mashup of my last 6 months, what I've been doing, how I've been being on the radio. And I just want to let you guys know that I also have a Manhattan cable show. A Manhattan cable show. Now, radio is difficult. TV is ridiculous. Ridiculously difficult. Because you know what? If you get like sweat, there it is. If you say something wrong, it has to, especially if you're recording it, you have to stop and start again. And if you don't have one of those prompters, you are completely screwed. Look, this business is, I'm telling you, it's not easy. I don't know how people do it. It is not easy. I mean, you can't just wake up one morning. Well, you can. You wake up one morning and say, "Ooh, I want to be on the radio. Ooh, I want to be on TV." But you have to do the work, right? You have to do the work. You have to learn. And, you know, most people think, "Oh, she's an overnight sensation. So-and-so is an overnight sensation." No one is an overnight sensation. No one. Everyone has been working their craft, you know, doing their business, doing it from the behind the scenes and just like really getting into it. No one is an Beyonce is not an overnight sensation. Oprah is not an overnight sensation. Howard Stern is not an overnight sensation. Steve Madden is not an overnight sensation. None of these people are overnight sensation. It takes work to be an overnight sensation, and radio and television is not, it's not easy. Now you make plans, but you know what they say? Man plans, God laughs, right? That was my first show. It was July 18th, 2017. So I'm going to have an anniversary show, July 18th, 2018. Ooh. 18. So what I want to do is I just want to share, like, I'm really grateful. What am I grateful for? I'm grateful for my capacity to say yes, right? Saying yes to life, saying yes to jumping on board. I was listening to something from what is that, Matt? Steve Harvey was sharing today. He was saying that we have to, in life, we have to jump. And I've always said that. When I came here from America, from England to America, my husband at the time had asked me to marry him. He came in July and he said, "Why don't you come back in November?" And I had to jump, right? Because if I had stopped and thought about it, maybe I wouldn't have taken the action. Maybe I would have said, "Oh, it's not right. It's not perfect." And I would have had to jump. So I jumped. So when I decided it was time for me to leave corporate and go out on my own, I jumped. When it was time for me to take on, you know, leave real estate, I was a realtor, leave real estate, I jumped. When it was time for me to create being a coach, I jumped. I believe in jumping in life, because if you don't jump, you won't take the action. You'll always think about it and you just won't take the action. So I think it's really important to be able to jump. And as the adage goes, jump and the wings will come. I believe it's so true. It is true. Jump and the wings will develop on the way down. My thing is, you don't have to know everything. I don't know. I always say that I don't know anything. When I take on a new client as a coach, I say I don't know anything. But what that provides me is a space to be open and to learn everything. You know, some of us walk around thinking we have to know everything. No, we don't have to know anything. I've taken on so many roles this year that I absolutely know nothing about. And I'm learning and developing and growing. And the beauty of it, if you ask for help, it'll be there. People will help you. So I'm in the process of writing a book. And I know that's going to be something that's difficult too, because it's like really taking yourself on. But I'm in the process of writing a book. My book is called The Tiny Book of Huge Confidence. Get it? Because I'm a confidence and self-esteem coach. So we have the tiny book. Why is it tiny? Because I don't want to write a big old book. Nobody wants to listen to or read a book from some unknown coach where only maybe a few hundred or a few thousand people know her. Nobody wants to read 300 pages of what I've got to say. If for somebody to read 300 pages of what I've got to say, that shit better be good, right? So I'm just going to read you like the first part of my book, which is the acknowledgements. And why am I going to read you the acknowledgements? Because I love this acknowledgement. I really do. So my book is called The Tiny Book of Huge Confidence. And my acknowledgements are, it's a quick thank you to my teachers that are now at my now defunct school, Lewisham Girls. My former tutor, Miss Murrell, we call them tutors, Miss Murrell. And I didn't go to private school. I went to public school, you know, who all during secondary school was extremely religious and tried desperately, I feel, to have me go in the religious direction. I always knew that religion was not for me from the age of 7. I just knew it. Right. I knew from an early age that religion, though appropriate for some, was not for me. God bless her anyway. To Miss Mags, my house mistress, Mr. Condit, who I have no idea whether he's dead or alive. He's probably dead. Ran my primary school like a boot camp. To this tall, strapping old army man, I was one of his soldiers who needed to be disciplined. I was a child who laughed too much, played too much, and needed structure. In the days of old, conformity was not my strong suit. Mr. Condit, my primary school headmaster, did his best, and I still laugh and play and talk. Structure is usual too. I have since discovered to leave the person with the essence of who they are. To all my teachers who stood up to this naughty, chatty little girl from South London, thank you. I thank my mother, who was crazy as a bat out of hell and loved to laugh. When I look in the mirror, I see you. I realize how beautiful I am because you were amazing. You walked half naked, half dressed around the house and did not fill us with shame or guilt. You were a hippie before I knew what hippies were. You were free, spiritually inclined. You laughed out loud. You created and got what you wanted when you wanted it. I never heard you complain about your body or yourself. You raised me and let me be feral. You let me be me. Mum, you were cool, stylish, and sexy. Thank you for all your prayers that you said when I would go on walkabouts and be missing for days in the beginning, weeks, and then months on end. I would check in and let you know where I was during those times. I had no idea you were worrying about me. Thank you for being the perfect mother for me, allowing me to be me and discovering myself. Thank you for telling me that I helped you grow. I love you for that. A daughter helping a mother grow. You have no idea what that did for my confidence and my self-esteem. I am so happy, and I've been happy because I had you as my mother and you were happy. I'll love you as long as forever, for what forever means. I also want to thank and acknowledge you for the two best cities in the world, London and New York City. One birthed me, the other grew me. I'm happy to have had the pleasure and experience of living and loving in both of these cities. People have always asked me, which one do you like better? How can you like two great places that are similar yet different? One city no better than the other. They are both fabulous and amazing. London and New York are like family to me. I am the child, woman, lover, and friend. Both London and New York have provided me with a structure for who I am and who I turned out to be by generating me and my purpose. For that, I thank you and continue to thank you both. My foreword, which is quick and dirty. My dream and desire is to have people read my books, laugh, recognize themselves, understand, get my intention, and then when they're done, share it by passing it on to a friend or preferably buying stacks of my books and giving them away. If If I'm being completely honest about my book, ain't nobody got time to sit and read books that have 300 pages from a friggin' personal life coach with thousands of hours of experience that they've never met. And why should they? I want my book to be read quickly. I want to leave my readers wanting more, feeling empowered, inspired, and willing to take risks, feeling confident in their lives, even though there might be things in their life that they're afraid of going for. After reading my book, if inspired, and when done, they get on with being courageous, taking actions, and have the results that they want. Then they'll trust themselves to go for their dreams and desires, and they'll be charged up to become a yes in their life. With that in mind, my book is small, a mighty book, a David in the word of Goliaths of books. My book will be, just over 55 pages. It is quick and dirty read, filled with life coach stories, opinions, lessons, and at the end, you'll find at least one story into their lives. My readers will laugh and relate and feel empowered. They will go forth and take risks and live life their way. Articles I grew up with were full-bodied and long. Today, I don't have the attention span or the energy to read that much copy, right? I am the member of the Read It Quick posse, and cheers to you for joining me, right? So chapter one is really about my emancipation. And when I say my emancipation, it was words of a widely determined 16-year-old and her loving but unsuspecting mother. At 16, I had just left school and I had my feelings which screamed, I don't want to be told what to do, because I took myself and demanded my freedom. I didn't want anybody to tell me what to do anymore. I had no frame of reference that you would say yes. My only frame of reference was my sister, who I felt had no power and was good by doing what she was told. I knew you had no idea what you was doing and how I would turn out. And I was 16 and I was about to get my metaphorical emancipation papers. I was out of school, working, contributing to the home. Since I was being responsible and doing responsible things, I thought about being able to come and go as I wanted and make my own choices that were important to me. My 16-year-old self became free and started to grow, develop, and experience life. Prior to 16, you'd beat my ass when you told me not to go out or do something. I'd still go out anyway. Yeah. Anyway, and then you come home late by entering through the garden window and profess that I could care less if I got a beating. Then I'd suggest I would have had fun and it would be worth it. I'd take a beating. I don't care, right? I have fun. Today's beatings were considered abuse, but back then it was corporal punishment. And after a while of this, you begin exasperated and you cut your eye, suck your teeth, and walk away. That's my mother. I've always been a truly, truly happy to have you as my mother. You are a perfect mother for me, and you're the perfect parents for me. And I didn't know this when I wanted to go out, that you would let me. Even when you did not, you would not indulge me with buying clothes every week or supply me with teenage desires for the change in fashions. I remember when I was 7, my sister, who, unlike me, when I was became a teenager and was an angel and never did anything wrong or cause any problems. She was the first child and my parents were very strict and old fashioned. I guess she was the practice child. I'll be right back in 1 second.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Okay, so where was I? I was sharing with, this is Noreen Sumter, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I am reading excerpts from my book that I will be creating as an audio book and will be done by the end of this year, between now and the end of this year. So I remember when I was seven, my sister, who unlike me, when I became a teenager, was an angel and never did anything wrong or cause problems. She was the first child and my parents were very strict and very old fashioned. Like I said, I guess she was the practice child. My guess that the child rearing skills were born out of the Victorian era. Anyway, my sister got knocked up for the first time she ever had sex, and my mother was extremely angry. My mother had gotten knocked up at 16, and as I stood in the doorway and my mother admonished my sister with her thick West Indian accent, yeah, I breed. A couple of minutes earlier, I'd asked my sister if she was having a baby. Before my mother came into the room with a jug of water, my sister had just told me to get out of her room, get out, goat mouth, because that's what she used to call me. She used to call me goat mouth, right? I don't know why, but she just did. My mother, now in a room, empties the contents of the jug over my sister's head. For me at seven, I thought she broke the jug. But however, I have had long since had a conversation with my sister, and she told me that mummy just emptied the jug. In that moment, I said to my seven-year-old self, no one will ever tell me what to do when I'm 16. I think I actually blocked it out until I became 16. My declaration came to life as I stood on the green carpet passageway having a conversation with my mother, where I told my mother that she could no longer tell me what to do. She could always ask me to do something, but never tell me. I would respect her and the house, but she cannot tell me what to do anymore. I was paying my way, and I was working. I was giving keep. As little as it was still important. My mother, who had raised my sister, was not the mother that she became with me. My mom, you agreed, and because you're the best mother, I never kept any secrets from you. From that point on, you knew everything, and I told her everything. Everything. Right? When I was young, I would ask them myriads of questions, and you'd tell me to shut up. When would I stop talking? You would tell me that I talk like a parrot in my thick. You talk like parrot in my thick Jamaican accent. When you needed me to stop talking, I talked and asked questions incessantly. My questions became increasingly difficult, and you did not have the answers. You would get irritated and tell me to stop bothering you in your Jamaican. Stop bothering me, or you would tell me you did not know and suggest that I go and find out for myself. Me. No, Noreen, I don't know, you would say. Just go figure it out for yourself, and then I'd share my findings with you. I always shared my findings with my mother. So thank you, Mom. I took a bold step at 16. Now in the family and friendships, I'm the person who brings up things that people don't feel comfortable talking about. It's not that I do it deliberately. I don't orchestrate my questions. I don't walk around thinking weird stuff that I can talk about. It's just the things I talk about are what I'm interested in. Things that intrigue me, things that I discover as I go through my life. And I'm still the same. I am a perfect person to write a book called The Tiny Book of Huge Confidence. Why? Because it is my book, and I'm open to looking at where confidence might not be present or is still missing, then sharing that life and discovery with others. I'm writing this book, even if it's only one person or one member of my family who likes it, I'm still writing it, no matter. Why The Tiny Book of Confidence? Why not? Many of us have written books of some sort, a fantasy book that only we knew about. Even if it's only lives in our heads, many of us dream about writing the great American novel. I'm living in America, so it has to be the great American novel. As a child, I wrote little books secretively. I would fold pieces of notepaper together and I'd write stories that only I would read. Why? Because I did not think of myself as someone who could write. Truthfully, I thought only smart people who were white wrote books. It wasn't until I turned 16 that I left school that I found books that were written by black people like me, black or African American studies, consisted of the world slave trade and William Wilberforce in high school. And it was not until I left school that I started a journey of self-discovery and understanding who I am and what I am. But I didn't consider myself smart. I never spent time studying. I spent a lot of time socializing, playing, and when I was not doing that, I was dancing or creating art. I had no idea about my academic capacity, to be honest. I had no idea what smart was or what it meant for that matter. I just always did enough to get by. It's a far cry from who I am today. My parents never checked my homework because they didn't know they had to. Plus, I was a smart kid who could fake my mother's signature and write letters. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. As far as my teachers were concerned, my mother signed everything. Why bother her? She had things to do. I had parents who were from the West Indies who thought school was just reading and writing. You have to understand that they did not know anything about curriculums. My parents did not know what to look out for. So why bother them? Sneaky, peeky. That was me. I squeaked by with my studies. One thing that I loved was art. I enjoyed school. For me, it was an opportunity to socialize. It was where I played games, learned stuff about others and myself, learned about what to do, what not to do. However, consequently, I wrote secretly. I had siblings that I did not want them to read my stuff or ridicule me. Therefore, I wrote in secret and did so much for a long time that it seemed a secret for many years until one day it dawned on me that if I did not share my writings, I would not know if I was growing or even if it was worth doing. So I just went for it. I started sharing stuff on the web. For a long time, no one responded. And then suddenly it happened. It started to get a glimmer of acknowledgement from people on my site who received my newsletters. The best acknowledgement was readers indicating that my newsletter came at the right time with the right conversation. It was great to hear that. One Christmas, I was volunteering at a food bank and I introduced myself to the other volunteers. And one of them, after me introducing myself, told me that she received my newsletter. I loved it. I was so happy to hear that. I am the middle child of seven, and making fun of each other in a house was a national pastime. Everyone had nicknames they hated. And when your nickname was called, you'd brace yourself so that you could deflect the blow. One of my nicknames was the suck finger jockey. Because I sucked my finger and my brothers would call me a suck finger jockey like this, like I was jumping up and down, right? And then my other nickname was the M1 after the M1 motorway in London, because my brother said that my lips were so long. I'm like, really, where are those lips today? Where are those big lips? So writing and most other things I did privately, my writing has grown stronger and I've gained a lot more confidence, which has made me stronger. I am no longer willing to let fear or failure or other people's judgments dominate my life, my writing or my spirits. When writing or speaking, I don't try to get things right or sound smart. I just write as I would when I was speaking. when I'm speaking. I have even learned through past to allow criticism to serve as a contribution. How I've dealt with criticism in the past is exactly as I did to handling the name calling when I was young. I would brace myself ready for a battle. So I never really got the value of it. It was like picking peas or snapping green beans. Not everything in the pea is worthy of going into a casserole. I have never made a casserole in my whole life, but that is what came into my mind. So I no longer feel bad if my work goes out with errors. I found lots of errors in books that I've read. So if one of my readers catches it and are in my book, I imagine they'll let me know. And it's an opportunity to fix it. So taking criticisms for me is now like wrapping myself in a stylish coat whose intention is to make me look good by highlighting the areas that don't work or are not understood or that they are not cohesive with others' opinions. Criticisms can be and is valuable to me and gives me the power to be, do, and have whatever I want, not just in my writing, but in my whole life. So this is an excerpt from my book, and I will keep you updated with it. It's fun and it's funny, and it also has anecdotes. It also has information that people can use and look through their own life and build themselves and build their courage and self-esteem. So I would just like to say thank you. If you've gone through this whole evening with me, I would just like to say thank you so much. And if you're one of the people that listens to the reruns, I would like to say thank you so much. And this is Noreen from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.